A reading from Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from among your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb, on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words, that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. This text from Isaiah began our intro today, giving the fourth Sunday in Advent its name, which is Rorotakaili. That's Latin for shower, or drop down, O heavens. This is the first phrase of our intro. And that's really the theme of the text today and what we're preparing for on Christmas, for the heavens to drop down to earth in the infant child Jesus. Through the coming of this child, righteousness rains down and nourishes the people of the earth, producing salvation for all. In our Old Testament lesson, which prophesies of there being a new Moses to come and lead God's people, there's a reference to a time when the heavens dropped down to them. Moses writes in verse 16, "Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die.'" This is a reference to when the Ten Commandments were given to Moses in Exodus 20. In the scene when the Lord gave his people the Ten Commandments, God dropped down from heaven in a thick, dark, and cloud with thunder and lightning. The mountain was smoking. He came down in this sort of miraculous way to do one very important thing: to give his people his word. But we see the Israelites being intimidated by God. They weren't necessarily intimidated by the way God came down to earth, being fearful of the clouds and thunder which engulfed the mountain of the Lord. They were fearful of the Lord's words, the Ten Commandments that were given to them. They were afraid because they didn't feel worthy of receiving it. They didn't live up to the Lord's words. So they appointed Moses as intercessor between God and the people, because the Lord's words were too much for the people to handle. They said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us. Do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Certainly that sentiment is relatable for us, the feeling of being unworthy for a holy God. The law of God can be fearful for us to hear because we don't measure up to its standards. The presence of God doesn't come to us in clouds, thunder, and lightning per se, but through his word. Nonetheless, God's law is incredibly frightening. If there is no intercessor, there were no Moses figure to hear, lead, and teach God's law, then we'd certainly be just like the Israelites. But thanks be to God for giving us the greatest intercessor, a new prophet like Moses who arises from among the Israelites. Certainly this one is more than a prophet and intercessor. He is Savior. He bears the words of God and brings it to his people. How does this prophet, this intercessor between God and man, come to us? The introit clues us in. "Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit." This prophet drops down from the clouds and holiness and righteousness. He humbles himself to the womb of the earth to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. Through the Word of God made flesh, being planted in the womb of a virgin. The heavenly fruits of forgiveness, righteousness, and salvation have broken through the dust of man's sinfulness and sprouted into new life. Jesus is the mediator and intercessor between us and God the Father. He comes not in trembling, dark clouds, but he comes in the infant Jesus, not intimidating in his almighty nature, but he puts that aside and comes as the Word incarnate, the Word of God mediated through human flesh in Jesus. This Word of God lived out in the life of Jesus, fulfilled everything that has been required of the flesh by the Father. The Word of God made flesh says in Matthew 5:17, I have not come to abolish the law of the prophets, but to fulfill them. And now, through the law of God lived out perfectly in the flesh of Jesus, we have no reason to fear the law of the Lord. Jesus is mediated between us and the Father, and so our sin isn't seen, but only the perfection of Christ is seen by the Father. Because the law of God lived out perfectly in Jesus' flesh, was crucified. He died and was buried, paying the full punishment of sins, a punishment we deserve. But rising to new life on the third day, the Word incarnate gives us his words, planting words of righteousness into our ears, hearts, and minds, so that they may sprout and give life. The words he gives are given here in church, through word and sacrament and the means of grace, where we receive God's undeserved favor. Here in church, we receive the Word of God, which showers down from heaven, raining down righteousness, holiness, forgiveness, to nourish our faith. In the waters of holy baptism, the Lord's name and the promise of belonging in the divine family is splashed upon us in holy baptism. Receiving the Lord's name, we can call upon God as Father, just as Jesus teaches us to do in prayer. In confession and absolution, we receive the forgiveness of sins, full of God's favor, generosity, and love towards us, which we don't deserve. In the Lord's Supper, we receive the fruits of the cross, Christ's very own body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. In it, we eat the sacrifice, which dropped down from heaven, just like the manna did for the Israelites hungering in the wilderness, just like the bread did in the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. And so it is for us, miraculous feeding and drinking, which strengthens and nourishes faith in the forgiveness of sins and grace received. May this be on your hearts and minds this Christmas, when family gatherings may be smaller or possibly non-existent, when you may feel especially lonely this holiday. Remember the Word made flesh. Remember how God always seeks to drop down from the heavens to be with, comfort, and care for sinners with his righteousness, love, and favor. Remember what the Emmanuel brings. Emmanuel brings God with us. That may just mean a little bit more to us this Christmas season. And the promise of God to be with us is a promise that doesn't happen just that Christmas night, but it's his promise for his children at all times, forever and into eternity. We look forward to celebrating Christmas when the heavens drop down and we have God with us. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.